Tonight on Side Stage with the IBGO, we finally get our act together.
It's audio, Robert. Stop making faces.
It's a podcast, dumbasses.
Respect me. I am the Dragonborn.
Jeez. All right. The editor.
Fear me.
And now we're totally
ready for adventure.
Join us tonight.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Side Stage with the IVGO. I am your host and editor, Lisa, back again to annoy everybody. With me, I have our usual comedian, Keith Milligan.
Hello, I am here to be funny.
Yep, you better be now, midpoint. We have Shireen Pereira, our lovely singer.
You gotta say something, Shireen, it's audio.
Literally, I'm just gonna say hi to the video.
And hello. Music director, maestro extraordinaire, Robert Martin.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you, Robert. Somebody actually spoke.
It's a podcast, dumbasses. Week four, we still haven't gotten this down.
No. You're the one who wanted it to go on YouTube.
I don't. Listen. Well, listen.
We gotta branch out.
And it's already falling apart.
That's just IVGO in a nutshell, let's be honest. So, last week, we were talking about games. We were talking about games that we play music from and stuff like that. So, why not do that again this week? But it's going to come with a theme.
Ooh.
This is nostalgic games or series that have defined us and or our formative years.
Oh, Lord.
I know. If we had stories last week... We're going to have stories this week.
Mine's depressing. But okay. Yeah, let's do this.
PG-13? PG-13.
Okay. Trigger warning, so, I guess.
Yeah. Just we'll make sure. We'll be careful with this.
She's
one.
She's the editor. It's fine.
I can cut what needs cut. It'll be fine.
She's
all right.
The editor.
It's audio, Robert. Stop making faces. Take it away, Lisa. Take it away.
I don't know if I should now. I think I should just let this run its course and just keep going.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
It's never going to run out.
Yeah, we need to take some direction on this.
I just said I'm being a good boy and letting you talk unlike these two.
That's why, Keith, I'm going to let you start. So why don't you let us know what games formed, defined you and your formative years?
Yeah, like, I don't really have, like, a specific series that I really grew up playing. Like, my first ever game was the Teletubbies for the PS1. So... So, if you want to play some music from that, work away.
How many of our listeners know that game?
But then I went to, there was some like summer youth club thing I went to, and you know they had like the standard like, you know, PS1 set up to basically keep everyone not killing each other.
Right.
And in that they had Crash Bandicoot, which
nice.
I played the first level of a lot. And never played anything else of that until the remake of it came out a couple of years ago, whenever that was. And again, I was only good at the first level, and I was not good at the rest, and we do not talk about the rest of that game, because I did not get to the rest of that game. But basically,
I really enjoy Crash Bandicoot,
but it's
not one of the games that I find myself leaning towards. It's like, I want to go play Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
No, it's just a fun time.
I mean, comparing, like, between that and Spyro bit definitely be, like, my go-to thing. But the reason why I'm sort of starting with Crash Bandicoot is because that was made by Naughty Dog, who I am a massive fanboy of, basically. Whenever I was first playing Crash and, you know, had no idea what developers were, I thought that they, whenever the words Naughty Dog came up, I was like, they are talking about Crash Bandicoot because he is a Naughty Dog. Look at him.
This is why he will be with a comedian. This is why.
And then
there are layers to this story.
And then Jack and Daxter came out, and I was playing that, and I was like, oh no, now there are two Naughty Dogs, because I thought Daxter was some weird dog creature. And yeah, I mean, actually, the first Jack and Daxter game, that's not one I really played a lot of. But the second one, I sunk a lot of time into that, because that was basically in a time before I was allowed to play, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto, all that sort of stuff. So I was like, ah,
yeah,
I can run around a city and cause havoc. I'm a madman. So I was like, ah,
but
yeah.
That's the thing, though. In Jack and Daxter, that's kind of an appeal to me. GTA does not appeal to me for that exact reason. I'm like, I couldn't be bothered running around destroying stuff. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, it's sort of more of a, I don't know, I play GTA, well, I don't really play it anymore, but whenever, like, GTA 5 came out, that was more of, like, a sort of, let's just put on, you know, God mode and go crazy for, like, a couple of minutes and just get all the stress away. And then I just go cry some more. But I sunk a lot of time into that. Again, that's a game that I never finished. Like, I remember there's, you have the first level where you're sort of, you're in the prison. Jack speaks for the first time. You're like, oh my goodness, he swears. I'm playing an adult game. And then you get out and you're sort of given free rein over this world. And I remember, because this is probably saying a lot more about me than I actually wanted to, because this will make me come off as a massive psycho, but...
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, as soon... So basically,
what else is,
you
know,
now? Yeah, this is very true. But basically, usually it's, you know, like, going on with, keeping comparing it with GTA, if you, like, steal a car and then run someone over, you'll get a wanted level type thing. You know, like the guards will come after you or whatever. I realised as soon...
You mean the place?
I mean...
The guards.
The guards in the game? I don't know. I've not played the game in ages.
The guardie.
Well, yeah, the guardie.
Yeah.
Guardie Shiakona.
Okay, the police usually come after you, but I noticed, like, literally in the first alleyway, as soon as you get out of the prison, like, after the first level, if you steal a car and run someone over, the police will not come after you. So I spent far too long in that alleyway just, like, stealing a car and then
committing genocide.
Yeah, waiting for some unsuspecting idiot to come around the corner and just boom. And that's...
It's knock him out.
Yeah, anyway.
Keith,
so
remind me never to meet you when you're driving.
Yeah, it's probably for the best, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, you know, Naughty Dog went on. I'm going to skip probably the most famous game series, because I'm going to come back to that. Ooh, spoilers. But they went on to do The Last of Us, which is one of my favourite games.
Yeah.
Which has, like, just an amazing soundtrack and everything as well. Like, it's massive how, you know, they started from Crash, which is basically, like, running away from the camera, just a completely static thing, and it's just, you know, like, a cartoonish adventure thing. And then they went from that to survival horror. Ah, the zombies are going to get me. And then Last of Us 2 came out. But anyway, moving on. They also had the Uncharted series, which is possibly one of my favourite series of games. Just because it's Indiana Jones, basically. Like, interactive Indiana Jones mixed with, like, the Saturday morning cartoon things that you used to watch as a kid. And, like, it's one of those games, it's amazing to play from the start, just to see how much it improved as it went on. Like, the first game is completely unrecognisable whenever you've played the fourth one, just in terms of how, like, the graphics, the controls, the music, everything has changed. But and this is the segue into the music. One bit that has stayed constant throughout the game is Nate's theme, which you'll know as soon as you hear it, because it is, as soon as you boot up the game and get on the main menu, it just blasts out the speakers at you. But yeah, it's what you hear as soon as you start up the game. I would argue that it's sort of up there with the more sort of iconic themes, like Mario, that sort of stuff.
Well, obviously what you're all listening to in the background right now is the London Philharmonic Orchestra playing Nate's theme.
No, it's the Royal Philharmonic. Not the London Phil.
Sorry.
The Royal Phil. They are very different orchestras. I could do a podcast on that.
Sorry.
Podcast number five.
This is why Robert is the music director. He knows everything. I don't. Let's
not make that claim. I don't need.
You know more than I do.
I don't need calls.
The actual reason I've mixed that up is actually because, leveling with all of yous, I have never played an Uncharted game.
For sure.
Not a single second.
Me neither.
But it has been described to me as, I love the Tomb Raider series.
Yeah.
So I will love the Uncharted series. It's sort of along the same vibes. The first time I ever heard anything from Uncharted was actually the London Philharmonic. They did the Best of Video Game. They did two recordings, two CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And they did Nate's theme. So the only difference is they had no percussion in it.
Actually,
and it was all just these really lush strings and beautiful brass. And I think there's nothing more satisfying than strings moving in unison with a big soaring brass line over the top of it.
Yeah. No, it's... I need to listen to that again because I have somehow never noticed that there's no percussion in it. So there we go.
No, it's so good.
But yeah, no, that's...
Because you know, like at the start, there's always the first... I think it's the first timpani beat.
Yeah.
And then the brass sings out.
Yeah.
It just goes straight into the horn line and it comes out of nothing.
It's brilliant.
And it's so, even with the percussion, it's such an emotive piece of music.
Yeah.
It makes me want to play that game.
No, it is. It's brilliant. Like, it sort of, it just sets you up. You get straight, like, ready for adventure. Hire me, Naughty Dog, for your marketing. But yeah, it's like, I don't know, like, even the theme. Or the soundtrack, you know, in general, but the theme especially, is, like, very Indiana Jonesy because it is very, like, brass-heavy. And, like, you know, again, and then whenever you go into the actual soundtrack as a whole, you get a lot of sort of string bits happening, which, I mean, you can see they were definitely inspired by the good old Mr. Johnny Williams. Williams? Williams, yes.
I was gonna Williams? Say, yeah.
Williams.
Yeah.
David Williams, imagine he was the composer for Star Wars. Oh,
no, but can we get him on the podcast? I know he'd be expensive. Maybe. But oh my god, could we please?
Let's try.
Do we want to...
Shout out are we talking to about... David Williams, everybody on socials.
Let's make it happen.
Keith Sparrins, if you could share...
yep.
Contact him.
I have one question, just to continue with what you were saying there, Keith. Is there variations of Nate's theme? Because I've only ever heard that version that we've just finished listening to, and the London Phil version.
Well, I mean, there's a variation to an extent. So, like, the first three games, they pretty much have the exact same theme, maybe with, you know, slight differences and, like, orchestration, you know, like the amount of brass playing, something like that. But the fourth game, it basically went down a different route in terms of story. So while the first three, they were sort of more, let's go get the treasure, shoot bad guys, yay. The fourth one sort of went down the route of, is it really worth, you know, losing everything to go after this one bit of treasure. So the theme for the fourth game, or like, you know, the main theme, musical theme, you know what I mean, for the fourth game, is very, like, it obviously still has the brass playing, but it takes more to get up to there. So like you were saying, Lisa, that, you know, it has the timpani leading up to it, you know, in the proper ones, or in the other one, you know, it just goes straight into the brass. In the fourth game, it basically, it has a lot of just strings playing for a bit, and then, like, weird percussion noises. I don't know how really to explain it. It's just, yeah, listeners, go listen to it, because, but it's, yeah, no, it's definitely the change up the theme as the series itself changes. Did that answer the question?
Cool. Yeah. The only reason I'm asking is because you were saying there, like, with the fourth game, it's like, is it worth it? That seems to be, like, a recurring theme with games. I find, like, the Arkham Batman series has a similar vein, whereby the fourth one, it's like, everything in his life is starting to kind of unravel a bit, and it sort of seems to be a theme by the time you get to, like, third or fourth games, that is, like, you start to get, like, a darker variation of the theme. And I was just curious, because I've never played them. I feel really bad for not playing them, because
as you should.
I think I would really enjoy them.
Yeah, no, I mean, they are very good, but, like, if you were going to play it, I would say either start with the first one and don't play any of the rest until you finish it, or just skip the first one completely and, like, read it on Wikipedia, because it's like that was the game that basically that and Gears of War, I think, sort of brought in this idea of third person shooters, so it's very clunky to play it now.
Okay.
But yeah, still good, kind of ish.
You still enjoy it because it means something
yes,
to you.
Yes, that is what I was going... That's what I was building up to. Yes, thank you for the
save. I'm just bringing it back to the nostalgia theme here, as, like, as easily as I can. No, that's great. But, like, the music from it, I think the orchestra could look into that theme.
I think we...
We've played it before.
Yeah.
I have never been in the orchestra for these.
It was
you
for,
weren't in our concert. You weren't in our concert, Uncharted Lands... In no. which the title of the concert came from this piece?
No.
Was that not the
one?
I
think that was just before I joined.
I can't remember if it was Glenmachan or Riverside.
That one was Korean, I think. Yeah.
That was Riverside.
Yeah, I think it was just before I joined the orchestra, because I think after... I remember seeing that happening and then Sorsha getting back in contact with me and being like, oh, by the way, yeah, come to rehearsals.
Yeah, that one is...
Yeah, we've definitely done that one before.
Yeah. That, I think, we basically, we had the concert, we had the name Uncharted Lands, and then we were like, oh, we need to be playing the Uncharted theme here. So we sort of...
No. It happened the other way.
Oh, I picked, okay, well.
I picked the set list first, and then we go into marketing. And then usually what happens is we end up changing the set list because we need to cut some songs.
Yeah.
And it's usually the title song is gets cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, all I remember from playing that one live was we had, I think we had some type of like drum thing happening at the start. And then whenever the brass came in,
it wasn't timpani.
It definitely wasn't timpani. But whenever the brass came in, they did it wrong. So like, rather than ba 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 ba, they're like ba ba ba, and I just
wow. Okay.
Was that a start again moment?
No, I mean, no, we kept on
going.
We don't do that.
You know what the worst thing is? Yes. I literally have the video for this somewhere.
We could insert it now, a little clip. Just now, coming
maybe,
your way.
Maybe.
We better shout out some love to our brass players because we
our
need
brass
them.
Players worked yeah. too hard. Uncharted Lands, June 2018. There it is. Oh, nope, we only
there
have...
There it is not, guys.
We only have Hikari and Kirby on the drive.
Oh.
Oh.
That means it's on the hard drive. I'll check it later.
No worries. Anyway. Thank you, Keith, for sharing your stories.
You're very welcome. Please don't judge
well,
me for my
sake. Well done. A lovely little applause from Shireen.
I will clap myself. Thank you very much.
Yes. So, moving on from that.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Shireen, shall we?
Thank you very much.
Shoo, shoo, ba-doop.
So, it was tough to pick what games to talk about, as we did have a little chat about this in our last week, what we'd go for, and
were a couple of clashes.
There
were
a couple of, yeah. we can all, excluding Keith, I think, share our memories.
Oh yeah, we'll tie it all in.
of Pokemon.
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully our listeners as well will appreciate some chats about Pokemon. So it came out first in 1996 after a bit of research on Wikipedia.
Proud of you.
But it got our notes.
It didn't come to Europe until, 2 years later. And the game that I played first was Pokemon Yellow.
Lame.
Iconic. Just iconic.
No. Blue is better. Blue is better.
I was red.
Didn't have that stupid Ooh. Pikachu following you around.
I have no idea what anyone's talking about. Just want to let that...
You have to use Pikachu. You have to use Pikachu.
Keith, this is a summary of the game.
Sorry.
Just Carry Pikachu. On. Just Pikachu.
Okay. See how tired he looks?
Yeah, and he's been around the block a couple of times.
Because he's been walking behind you the entire time because he won't fit in his freaking Pokeball.
See, all I know about Pokemon is you capture animals and you make them fight each other. So I can do that
and
in real
best
life.
Friends.
Like, you I mean, he's not wrong.
I guess that you watched that trailer. What is it? You know those fake movie trailers?
No.
Have you seen that? Of like Pokemon and they're literally like... That's literally how they summarize the game.
Oh,
no, I haven't seen
it. Have you not? It's like this kind of ironic like take on the series and multiple like films and stuff. I shall link you later. And
yes,
if it's good enough, we can include it.
Briefly.
As a suggestion. Anyway,
we don't get sued.
I think like, to be fair, like if you hadn't played the Pokemon games, like it is hard to get into it like later on, perhaps, but because I had played that so early on, probably 2000, when I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8.
Yeah, we were saying last week as well.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
We were saying last week with the Pokemon anime, like that theme is so iconic in itself.
Yes, yeah.
But there are some tracks from the games that are more so.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, oh my god, like the Lavender Town, like that is just such a classic.
Nope.
And it was so scary.
You know, it was so scary. Absolutely. So just loads of great memories with that game, you know.
Yep.
I believe I had the Game Boy Advance and there was no backlight for it.
No.
So it was literally just trying to like look at it while like
playing. I was going to say, did anybody have those like snake light plugins that you plugged into where the link cable should be?
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really like dim though. It's like impossible to see.
You still had it though.
Just be like squinting. Yeah, exactly.
That's how you pretended. You were like, oh yeah, I'm going to bed.
I go to bed. Yeah, then you pull it out.
I'm going to sleep. Get the little light on.
Definitely. Yeah, just so many good memories, and would play it a lot with friends as well, like battling or whatever, trading, etc. I actually had Pokemon cards as well, and there is a place in down here in Dublin in Dunleary where they'd like host these trading card like conventions, and like all these kids would like trade cards. It was like the coolest thing to do on
That's
a Saturday.
So cool.
Yeah, and like it was really funny.
I'm sorry, that is cool.
It was very cool, but it was funny because I went with like I was there with my siblings, and I had a Charizard card, I believe, and this guy was like, oh, I'll trade you this. And I can't remember what Pokemon it was, which is important to the conversation. But I was like, I asked my brother, I was like, oh, should I do this or whatever? And they were like, no, this card is fake. Like, what is this or whatever?
Do you remember you got them, used to get them in like McDonald's bags, and you like got a Happy Meal and they could peel them off like a sticker?
Yeah.
I have like hundreds of those, and I'm so mad because I found a Zapdos and was like, oh cool, I have a Zapdos. And then I actually lifted it and went, I can peel that off. I can stick that to the bumper of my car.
Well, this is the thing. It was like, my brother's
like, did
you
not have these, Robert?
Nope. I mean, we had the cards, but we didn't have the McDonald's ones.
Oh no, there's so many fakes.
No, we didn't have that. We had only real cards here in the States.
Look at us, we're real Pokemon fans.
But the funny thing was, is like, we were like, oh, it's a fake. But actually, it just turned out to be a Japanese, like, trading card, which is probably worth a lot more, actually. But yeah, so, there was.
Do you think, this is me just spitballing here, because particularly now with Pokemon Sword and Shield, which you're hearing music from in the background now, do you think it kind of has changed dynamic because they've moved from like link trading to the global trade system?
I have no idea what that means.
You know, like, it's like it's all online. It's like, used to be you had to be close to somebody or you had to have their friend code. Yeah. No, now you can just randomly send Pokemon off anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's stupid.
I don't think that particularly
I don't
like
want
his...
some random skanks Pokemon, like what the hell.
You always get them, they have like Japanese or Italian names, and then you evolve them and it goes back to English and you're like, I maybe wanted to have my Totodile have an Italian name. I can't remember what his Italian translation is now.
Totodella.
Tortilla.
To any Italian listeners.
Sorry.
We have Italian listeners. What are you on about? It's only Keith's mom and dad. What are you on about?
They like pizza. They're pretty much Italian.
Oh my god.
Stereotyping
anyway,
aside.
Anyway.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's fine personally. I think like it's good to have, you know, the series kind of evolve over time.
But
thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
What a host, folks. What a host.
I'm trying.
But there's definitely a lot of kind of critiques on how the games have gotten easier generally, that you don't have to grind and like level up your Pokemon before like going on to the next town and so on.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, like, I kind of enjoy the games like either way. I don't know what you guys think, being also seasoned Pokemon players, like if you think the games of...
Keith, what is your insight?
Oh, Lord.
Yu-Gi-Oh was better, and I will die on that hill. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
And you are wrong.
And we're not coming back to Keith. Keith is now muted for the rest of the podcast. I find the one thing for me that always stands out, though, is how they... Because that's why I asked Keith earlier about themes changing. It's like the Pokemon Center theme has changed so many times.
Yeah.
The battle theme has changed so many times.
And yet they all still sound the same.
Yeah. But there's always something slightly different.
Yeah.
Pause.
You can fight me on this, but the best tune on any Pokemon game, and I'm going to double check this right now, but I'm pretty sure it's Pokemon... X and Y, yep, Route 4, which if you watch the anime...
I'm trying to remember the X and Y ones.
Yeah, that's it. And it's funny because it's the same theme as, what's his name? One of the guys who follows Ash in the anime series.
I see. I haven't watched it past sort of Diamond and Pearl era.
Pikachu.
I had a lot of time playing it like 3 years ago. What was his name? He ended up being like the electric type gym leader or something as well. But it's just such like a little happy march.
Lucas.
I can see what the guy looks like. He wears like a blue jumpsuit.
Yeah. Yeah, with the big glasses.
I can't remember his name, though. I can't remember.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Begins with a C. Does it begin with a C?
We have the internet. X,
Craig.
Y. Craig.
It's not Craig. Craig. Clement. Craig. His name is Clement.
Clement?
I prefer Craig.
Clement.
I prefer Craig. Yeah. Let's rename him. Sorry, Pokemon Company, we're renaming your character.
We're going to name him Craig.
Yeah.
I like Craig.
But aside
from
Pokemon...
So it's his theme, were you saying? Is that what you
were saying? Yeah, it's his theme in the anime. So like anytime he has like an idea, like comes up in the background, and I'm just like, this is such a catchy tune. What is this? And then I found it.
Should we add it to our Pokemon medley?
Do what you want.
It's not, you don't care anymore?
I'm not editing this one, this is you. Do what you want.
He's done. No, I think she meant like the actual our like orchestra.
The actual medley. Like,
oh, you know what? I thought about it at one point, but the tune itself is only like 30 seconds, so it didn't really matter.
30 seconds is all it
takes. Transition into something else.
Could be. What, Keith?
You don't want to know.
Ignore him.
I usually do.
Listeners.
I mean,
Shireen, continue talking. You had another game you wanted to talk about.
Indeed. So just quickly, another game series that, so obviously kind of Pokemon has been with me for a very long time. and that's been great. And I'm open to the new, you know, like I like kind of seeing the new games come along and, you know, that's all great. But a series that I got into only a couple of years ago is actually the Persona series.
Oh, cool.
And we've actually had a couple of our concerts. I've seen a lot of Persona cosplayers as well. So hopefully... you know, Keith's mum and dad will appreciate. Yeah, the Persona series was originally a spin-off of a different series, still by Atlus, and the Persona series just was so popular that it just kind of it's kind of more popular than the original. Maybe people will attack me for that.
Ooh,
for
controversial. That.
But, so the kind of first Persona game is actually Persona 3, and then it's Persona 4 and Persona 5.
Well, there's a Star Wars.
Anyway, it's
Shireen didn't want to take that critique there. She's like, no, GameSeries is brilliant, moving on.
That's a whole other conversation. It's kind of like, they're all based in, like, you're a high school student in all of them. I'm just going to say that because that's the international term. And you're just like discovering various mysteries, and every choice you make like affects like the ending.
So it has like a butterfly effect kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just absolutely fantastic. I think, yeah, so the first one I played was Persona 4, which was on the PS Vita actually. And it's just amazing. Persona 5 came out only a couple of years ago, and that was brilliant. And anyway, so the three games, they have three very distinct like kind of musical styles and like general like I suppose colors, as you will, for all the series. And like 3 is quite like dark and gothic, and 4 is really is more kind of upbeat, and 5 is like jazzy. And
oh, that's cool. That's,
yeah, just a brief summary there. But yeah, the another piece or a piece which I wanted to show you guys is actually a live performance of a fusion of all three of the games. Which is really cool. So yeah,
he just had a realization.
Yeah, fair enough. I didn't explain this to you guys.
We'll insert the video here now, guys, and you can watch it, and we'll come back to it. We got sing, got sing, got sing. We got sing, got sing, got sing. We got sing, got sing, got sing. When that's so, a really fun song though. Like when you sent that in and I listened to it the first time, it's like you were saying there was like jazz, there's like a real deep dark sound. One of the comments, top comments on that video is, there's the idol, there's the rock star, there's the soul singer. And I was like, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a cool fusion. And I hope like if we do have any Persona listeners, don't know if your parents have played the game, that maybe they'll kind of appreciate this really cool fusion, and definitely recommend any Persona fans to try out 3, try out 4 if you haven't already, because it's just a fantastic series. And I suppose it's the first series that I had played that had that butterfly effect, and so I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. Your actions have consequences.
Because there's a lot of games that it's like, yeah, your action has a consequence, but you can kind of backtrack.
Yeah.
Yourself. I like the idea that you just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's yeah. And it just, like, it can have really drastic consequences as well. Like, it can just completely, like, change the game's like tone and mood, and it's like, wow, okay,
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, and it's like, it's very, I suppose, yeah, it's kind of like almost visual novel style ish with like anime like you know, I suppose a lot of like anime scenes and stuff in it as well. But yeah, definitely a recommendation for people like, yeah, I guess a fan of JRPGs.
All I'm doing this podcast is picking up a list of games I should be playing.
Yeah.
By the sounds of things.
I'll also say that Persona is one of the most highly requested games that we need to play that we haven't done yet. Mainly because I don't know
well,
it.
Well, was so that Fusion?
Listen, I don't know the game,
Shireen,
so I don't want
to
write it.
Shireen, yeah. You have to get on that one because it's singing one for you.
Absolutely.
Lisa, aren't you a singer as well? Don't we need three singers for this?
Jump in, Lisa.
Keith, do you want to be the idol? Do you want to be the one with the pigtails?
Yes, please. Always. Oh. I am now suddenly very hyped up for this song. Yes, please.
There we go.
Pigtail me up.
Done.
Three of us will arrange that and make sure that Robert's okay to conduct it and get the orchestra on board. Sweet.
Done.
Speaking of Robert.
What?
You've been very quiet this one.
I have.
Why don't you share your nostalgic games with us? No, he has. I've hardly heard Robert this episode.
In my defense, I'm having some weird tech issues every once in a while, so it's fine.
Oh, God. Hashtag Keith, save your audio.
Yeah, I
ooh,
saved my audio.
It's not
even Keith, it's just...
Just Keith, Keith.
Here, yeah. I had no problems last week, so...
Meh.
he even got a pop filter this week.
Exactly, I'm
so
going
impressed.
All out. I've spent so £25 on this podcast. Fear me.
Donations.
£25. That's a week's wage in his field.
Anyway, Robert, why don't you share my... Well, first of all, I would like to share my disappointment in you, and I would like you to tell everybody who's watching the video podcast why.
I didn't have time to put on the elf ears. Leave me alone.
Very disappointed.
Leave me alone. Week. It's the morning in Los Angeles, and I didn't have time.
I'm just for the ears?
One for what? One podcast in the future, like way, way down the line, Robert shows up with the elf ears and it just doesn't get mentioned. That's just, we accept it.
No.
That's it. No.
There the whole time. Yeah.
He's assumed his ultimate form.
Would you be able to wear them with the headphones?
No, I would have used earbuds instead.
Why Why were you supposed to wear the elf ears?
Because I was going to talk about Star Wars pod racing on the N64.
Brilliant.
No, that's the joke. But that was one of my first games, and that's how old I am. Back in 1996, Christmas. Picture it.
I was not born. Wait.
I can't. I was two.
Yeah. What?
No way. That is wild.
I was but a gleam in the postman's eye. I'm so sorry, Mum.
Oh.
Welcome.
Oh.
To After Dark.
We've just lost our viewers. I'm so sorry.
We've kept
this
some listeners.
This podcast just
though.
Is After Dark now.
I was going to say our listener count just went up.
the postman.
I'm going to try and keep us rolling. Go ahead, Robert. Share your childhood memories.
So, well, no, that was a joke. No, of course, me. Anyone who knows me, anyone who has been to one of our concerts knows that my favorite game series was The Legend of Zelda. What I mean to say is The Legend of Zelda.
Always will be.
Absolutely.
So, like, I grew up on Ocarina of Time, obviously, because N64 was the system that everyone needed to have when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But growing up, I had a neighbor who also had the N64, and they had Ocarina of Time well before we did. It was after playing it at their house that we then, you know, twisted our mother's arm to get it for us. I don't think she realized how violent it actually was. but this is where the story gets sad. So... this was a neighbor who basically like a brother in our family because, you know, both of our mothers kind of like my mom would work Monday and Thursdays. His mom would work Tuesday and Wednesday. And so, like, they would trade kids, basically, to right. So then we wouldn't have to pay for childcare growing up. And they were a little better off than we were. You know, two doctors versus, you know, a nurse and a pastor. So they were. So they had, like, all the games. They had all the game systems. They had, you know, everything. And so they had a Wii when it came out, which, of course, we didn't have. But so we would all play Twilight Princess from Legend of Zelda. And, like, everyone would get, like, half an hour and we'd trade off and type of a thing. Yeah.
Wow. But, so organized.
Right? We that's actually made it work. Well, they're also, like, one person would be playing Twilight Princess on this TV while the rest of us were playing some multiplayer game on this TV. And we would just, like, trade.
It, Mario Kart?
Probably. Like, we made it work. But eventually went away to college. Like, me and this friend, we kind of drifted apart in high school just because of life in general. Life. But he was still really close friends with my brother. So, like, he was still around. But we all went off to college. And this is the real sad part. He was passed away in a car accident when we were, like, 20, 21. Yeah. Anyway, after college, I ended up getting a Wii from a friend of mine who's like, oh, I just got a Wii U. You want my Wii? Yeah. Duh. And she sent me Twilight Princess as well. And so, like, it was all, like, all of a sudden, all of the nostalgia from, like, pre-college just, like, whoa, like, washes over me as I'm playing this game.
Yeah.
And so that was about the same time that the Zelda Symphony was touring, and Zelda Reorchestrated had just put out their Twilight Symphony, which we're listening
which
to right
brilliant.
Now.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes. It's, so it's been playing, don't worry.
Yeah. And that whole thing was like, oh, we're going to use, like, the highest end MIDI instruments ever, but we're going to use an actual choir in Los Angeles and do an actual session. That's incredible.
They've done so much over the years, like, even their they call it Reorchestrated, but even, like, the Ocarina of Time album that they did, it just sounds so lush listening to it now.
So good. And so the guys who did that, who put together that, are actually the guys who did all the orchestrations and stuff for the Zelda Symphony.
Oh, cool.
And then one of the other guys is Eric I can't say his last name, Bullsholes. Who did?
I'm gonna go with whatever you say.
Yeah, let's go with that. Who did Hero of Time with Materia Collective, which we'll listen to in a minute. So, like, all of a sudden, like, I don't know. It was at this point that, like, everything just kind of, like, lined up, and the career trajectory changed. And as they say, everything else is history.
That's how it goes.
And now we have an orchestra and a podcast.
Yay!
Exactly.
Within the high life,
it was.
Yeah, and we've done a lot. We've done a lot of Zelda and stuff over the years, which is cool.
I know the Zelda music is always incredible, which is more than can be said for the games. And that's my thoughts.
Keith, you're a slut.
Keith wants to have a fight.
Yes,
Keith, I will fight you.
I was made by the mailman. What do you expect?
Keith, I'm looking at flights to Dublin right now so I can come up there.
Everyone needs to.
Here's what I'm learning. Robert
no slut shaming.
Is Link. He will defend. He has the courage to defend the game to death. Shireen and I are somewhere in between Zelda and Sheik, probably. And Keith is Ganondorf. He just wants to make Robert's life hell.
I don't understand.
By throwing out controversial opinions.
Any of what you just said? So I'm going to give you a thumbs up.
You're
the villain.
Of it.
Okay, fair.
All right, I am looking at flights from Los Angeles to Dublin so I can come kick your ass.
But he's not in Dublin.
And you play Zelda, don't you? Belfast. That's the main character.
Oh my god.
Okay.
I'm closer than Robert is. I can drive to wherever you are.
Oh, that's too expensive. I can't do that.
Another win for Keith.
Anyway.
You live
anyway,
this
on that
day.
Note, Lisa.
Well, I'm going to let Robert's piece play here first. because we haven't got an ending for that yet. So this is the music that this is the music that Robert is talking about from Eric Bischoff's, I'll say, playing now. That music, like, as Keith said, Zelda music just always sounds good. He somehow has merged that theme. Hearing the opening theme to Ocarina of Time on flute is something I wasn't expecting. Hearing Sheik's theme on violin was also something I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And it fits so well. Like, I don't know if it's just, I know it wasn't Koji Kondo in the last one, but obviously it's all his original themes. There's just the way he writes his music, any instrument can play it. And there's something so incredibly brilliant about that.
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, he's a jazz pianist trained. So, I mean, like, but even then, like, he wasn't, I'm trying to remember if he was, like, originally supposed to be a, I think he was originally just a programmer who did jazz piano on the side.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was. So, like, yeah.
He just knew he needed a tune that was hummable, that was, you know, memorable. And
when I learned to play piano, I learned basic piano by ear. I didn't ever go to lessons.
That explains a lot.
One of the first things. Oh yeah. One of the first things that I ever did was print out the opening theme to the Ocarina of Time, and that was what I was like. That's my end goal. That's as good as I want to be. Is to be able to play that.
Did you do it?
Both hands. Yeah, I can do it now, but mostly just by ear, because when you're a viola player, you read an alto clef, so I have to transpose both hands in the opposite directions. So a lot of it is just by ear. My reading has gotten better, much better since then. I just don't have a piano to practice on. I have to wait till I'm actually teaching, and I can't come back into the school yet, because coronavirus.
Yay, whoa. The plague.
Anyways... seeing as Robert, we were talking earlier about the fact that there was a lot of clashes, and Robert, initially, we both said last week, we know what Robert's going to pick, and that's going to be a problem for me. I'm going to pick basically a similar idea, but more from my teenage years, because my game would have been Zelda. But for me, it was The Wind Waker.
Because
Ocarina of Time came out, I think I was eight, and I was terrified of the Redheads. So soon as I was adult Link, I didn't want to leave the Temple of Time.
That's fair.
So I was just like, I'm gonna be. I played it then more recently and completed it, and it was fine. But I think Zelda is what sort of got me into the Elder Scrolls.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had that same high fantasy magic, mm-hmm. overcoming the big darkness sort of themes through it.
See, this was my second choice.
Yeah.
No
the
way.
The first one I ever played was Oblivion. I think if I look back now, there's about 300 and something hours in that game that I have put in just on my 360. And I just kept playing it. I had like 7 characters. I'm going to out-nerd myself here. I was writing fan fiction about them. I was like, I'm going to cosplay as my own characters. Like, I thought this was amazing. I was 13 when I played that game for the first time.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And I'm not supposed to be playing it because it's a 15 game. Whenever I wasn't playing it, I was sitting in my brother's room while he was playing it, watching him, and being like, oh my god, he's so cool, he can play it so well. And I was like, I want to be able to do that. But the one thing that always stuck out to me was you could kind of make the character whatever you wanted it to be. And when I was like that young, and it's like when you are becoming a teenager, I was becoming a young woman. I got to kind of develop like a personality for myself in that, as cheesy as that is. But you know what I mean? Like, I got a sort of sense of like, particularly even as I got older then, like, I was like, I'm just here, don't worry about me. Like, I'd sit with my headphones on, nobody needed to talk to me, sat for hours in the music department by myself because I just didn't want to deal with people. And that was the one thing, like, coming out of that game that I was like, I feel like I'm accomplishing something.
Yeah.
And it elicited such emotions in me. See the end of Oblivion. I don't care if this is spoilers. The game came out in, what, 2007? The end, when Martin Zetton turns into the Avatar of Akatosh, that whole scene could still reduce me to tears.
Yeah.
Because it's like the pinnacle of high fantasy to me. I don't know if anybody else feels this way. I don't know. I'm just going off.
I haven't actually played it, but I'm really enjoying listening to this. Like, it sounds amazing. I mean, I think like we as gamers can all relate to finding some sort of like, I don't know, getting
part
some
of yourself,
like personal
maybe.
Like yeah, like growth like through these games, you know, like absolutely, you know.
And I always think it comes back to which one was your first game in a series. So like, as I said, Wind Waker would be the first Zelda where I would say I finished it, and it was like, so it defined part of my gaming experience. Oblivion was the first game I played from the Elder Scrolls, first game I finished. I loved the Shivering Isles DLC. Right. I thought it was one of the most creative things about the game. And then, obviously, Skyrim came out, and I only 100% completed it, all achievements there, about a couple of months ago.
Okay, so explain this to me, because I haven't played an Elder Scrolls game since Morrowind.
Okay.
So I played number 3,
hit
and
me
I
up.
Could.
I know all the lore.
And I could, never beat it.
What? Why?
I don't know. Like it, because with Morrowind, there's like no like forward motion. Like there's
you don't
like
have.
No,
there's no actual direction to any of the games. It's like, yes, you can. There's an end point. Here's your main quest line. But you could just completely ignore it, and there's no consequence. Which
yeah,
is
I guess.
To what
I guess the problem
was talking
is
about
like
earlier.
There, like, I never got to the point where you actually had to, like, know the actual point, you know?
Yeah, see, I sort of view things more... At the time when the game came out, I was getting into writing and creative writing and coming up with my own stories and stuff. And I still sometimes have sparks of inspiration now. But that game sort of was the style I was writing in. So I understood, so it was like, oh, they have this religion where it's the nine gods and they have all these different representations. And then when Skyrim came out and it was like, it's now the eight because Talos was a man, I was like, oh, it's actually like based on real life things as well. Like I could see like, oh, it's kind of like a casual racism thing. Start tying stuff back in. Yeah. And that's when I sort of started, I would then focus on certain pathways. So it was like, I don't like playing bad characters. I'm not the evil character like Keith. I'm the saint in the games, and yeah, I'm like, oh, no, I'm gonna be like Knight of the Nine. I'm gonna be the leader of the Fighters Guild. I'm gonna be the Archmage, like all the good lines. So I was like, okay, I want to get to that before I finish the main quest line because that will get my level up. I will have big skills. And then the final boss will be easy.
I would get to like being the head of whatever faction I chose. And then from there, I'm just like, okay, now what? And could never figure out where I was supposed to go. Also, I was like 11 or 12 when I was playing this. So like not the brightest kid at the time.
What's changed? Fair,
you know what, Keith?
Keith's just here to start fights.
On this. Can I? Can I?
Yeah.
Can I? Let's
kick him out.
I just muted him.
He's away. No, the one thing I'll say about Elder Scrolls games, and I know I'm kind of going on a wee bit now, but we will get to the music here in a second because I'll get to the next part, is that once you get to the end of like a faction's questline, they don't really give you anything else to do. And I know you can only program so much into a game, but it's like, okay, so at the end of Skyrim's Mage Guilds or the College Winterhold quest, it was like, oh, this big thing about the Psijic monks, which are like this mythical group that have never appeared in the games ever until that point. And they're like, we're going to take this big magical thing that's causing a load of problems away, otherwise the world is going to explode. And we're going to take it to our island, which you can't get to. And you just have staff, and you're constantly trying to fill the gaps that this big, the Eye of Magnus has left. And you just get gold for it. It's like, I'm not getting anything more out of this. In Oblivion, it was like, you got the respect of like, you are the Archmage. It was like, oh, good morning, Archmage. What can I do for you? Like, people actually, the actual NPC responses were brilliant. So I was walking about like, I am class. Like, I am the Archmage. Everyone knows that. Whereas in Skyrim, all this, they just kept saying to me, like, I always play as a werewolf in Skyrim. I just love that build. And they're always like, is that fur coming out of your ears? And it's like, respect me. I am the Dragonborn. Like, I've had enough of that.
I demand respect.
Walking by. And that's why I understand people who keep saying at a certain point in those games, you just have a mad lust for power. And you make a save file and you kill everybody in a town. And then you reload the game. Just to get the frustration out. But
that
more
would be
recently,
my original save file.
Yeah. More recently, I started playing The Elder Scrolls Online, which is a whole different ballgame. I wouldn't say in my experience it's like your typical timeline Elder Scrolls game because it's an MMO. They've even... Oh. You know the way... Yeah. I don't know. I've never actually played Morrowind, but you know the way obviously your magic classes, there's... illusion, destruction, mysticism, restoration, and all so on. None of those actually exist in the Elder Scrolls Online. They're named by the class and your race. So for me, my defensive spells are under a bracket called Earth and Heart because I always play as a Bosmer or a Wood Elf for people who don't know the lingo. So it's all tied back into like the Earth. And then my class is a Dragon Knight. So I have the Dragon's Talon, which is my destruction skills, but they're just labeled also differently, and you can't really play that game unless you have enough of different builds to get through it, whereas a main Elder Scrolls game, you can just kind of keep plowing through and eventually you'll get there. I mean, I think a lot of it is good. There's some stuff about it where I'm like, I want to be able to do it on my own. Yeah, there's always a but. But let's be honest, I don't want to shit on it. But there's always a but in Bethesda games, if I'm being honest. No, I just find it's like, I want to be able to create the character that I want to play as, and I should still be able to transverse the game. Like, I'm level 18, and by that point I'm like, oh yeah, I should be starting to, like, be able to build up a little bit of speed, start blasting through a couple of quests, and then as it gets further along, it gets harder. No, everything is killing me. And you have to wait a certain time to get a number of revivals back. Otherwise, you have to pay, like, your in-game gold to do it. And it's like, how am I supposed to get anything? How am I supposed to do anything? Because I'm so used to playing an Elder Scrolls game on my own. So basically, call to action to anybody who plays Elder Scrolls Online. Please add me on my Xbox gamertag. And join me for lots of adventures. I know lots of magic skills, and I'm very good with a sword.
In real life, so, too?
Oh, yeah. I wish. I will say, I've been sitting here the whole time. I'm going to bring this to the camera because I want everyone to know that this little pop figure, I'm going to show it here, and then I'm going to show you guys. It is an elf from the Elder Scrolls Online, and she has this really cool little spell on her right hand, and it glows in the dark, which is really cool.
Ooh,
my brother got me that because he said I was very obsessed with the game, and he was like, I didn't know what else to get you for your birthday, and I know you're obsessed with the Elder Scrolls.
Well, I mean, I've got a sword next to my desk, so I mean...
Yeah, fair. My big plus for the Elder Scrolls Online is its music, which has been playing for quite a while because I talked for ages there. So it's been all in the background. The music for the Elder Scrolls Online, there's something so much more epic about it. The composer is Brad Derrick, and he has done so much for that game. Every single piece has its own emotion. It's telling, like, its own characters, the region you're in. So, like, obviously there's all the DLCs, you've got Morrowind, Somerset, elsewhere with Khajiit. It's all kind of, you feel, you're listening to the music like I am walking in a forest with all the elven structures around me, or I'm walking in a desert and the heat's blazing down on me and everything's trying to kill me.
I had that exact same feeling of the whole like I'm walking through a forest thing whenever I was listening to the one you sent through. I can't remember the full name, but it's like the High Elves one.
The Dusk Song of the High Elves.
That's the boy. I was just listening to that and, like, sitting there making my notes like a good wee boy. And just, it's incredible. It's like, that's just one of the pieces, or one of those, like, types of pieces. Like you said, you know, you close your eyes and you're just there. Like, I've never played the game before. Like, I've played Skyrim, but I've never played Elder Scrolls Online. But I could just, like, imagine the sort of the surroundings and, like, the ruins and everything like that whenever I was listening to it. And also my mum liked it, so that's always a plus.
That's why she's listening again, because we're gonna play it again.
Of course. Yes.
It's so pretty.
So, can we please try some of that? If I arrange it, can we try some of that music?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
going to
be really poorly arranged, but... There'll also be so many viola main lines that shouldn't be there.
Oh, I get final cuts, so it's fine. But yeah.
I'm really looking forward. I hope with the next Elder Scrolls main game that they get Brad Derrick in to do the music, because
it's never going to happen.
I know. I really hope they do because
Skyrim is on Switch. What am I doing with my life?
You can get the Master Sword in Skyrim on Switch.
That's weird, but okay.
Well then.
You can get the Master Sword, and you can get the Tunic from Breath of the Wild.
So wait, just because it's on
Master
Switch,
Sword is the Zelda Sword,
or is this
right?
A mod?
Yes.
Oh, $50. Okay.
No, it's like an add-on as part of the Switch edition. I think for a certain time it was like... I know. The one thing I will say about any Bethesda game, they're so glitchy. ESO
is maybe the only one that isn't,
but because it runs on like your online as MMO, there's so many people in it, the lag can be a lot, the load times can be a lot, but once you're in it and you're just kind of wandering about, it runs really smoothly.
Can I ask a stupid question?
There's no
every
stupid
time.
Questions here, Shireen.
What's the difference between an MMO and an MMORPG? Because I feel like I only know...
I think most of them are three letters. It's basically just whether you call it an MMO or you call it an MMORPG, because most of those multiplayer online games are RPGs. It's like there's the Final Fantasy 14 one now, which apparently loads of people are on too.
Oh yeah, that's supposed to be good as well.
I've heard good things about it, but there's with MMOs in general, obviously there's like in-game purchases and stuff, and you can buy like special credits for special things. ESO puts them up at the start when you open the game, and then it just doesn't show you it again. So if you close it, it's just like, yeah, okay. It doesn't actually pressure you. It's not like you need this, or you need to get crowns to do this, or you're going out into the Imperial War, you need a mount. No, you can go on foot. Like, there's no need, and they don't pressure you to do that. The only add-ons I've got are the actual DLC. Not that I can play any of them, because I can't get through the game. But yes, there's a lot of, like the Morrowind DLC has really good music in it too, and as I say, the Elsweyr one does as well. They did one for Hyrok, I think, but it's not called Hyrok, and I can't remember what it is, which is the Bretons, which is a magical one. I think it was the latest one, because usually they wait until the next DLC comes out to release them. They're all on Apple Music if anybody wants to go find them. Just plugging that for them, like they needed that plugged. But yes, that's the thing. Like, I don't think a lot of people have the same experience with the Elder Scrolls as I do, because it's just one of those games that has constantly been in my life, and I can consistently keep playing, because I can always, I can just kind of like go in and 2 hours later I'm like, I've accomplished something. I built a little bit of a house. I went out and got some pelts. You know what I mean? Like, I can kind of live my own little life in it.
Yeah.
So it's your version of Animal Crossing.
Pretty much. Yep.
Animal Crossing, but with violence.
More violence.
I wish
dragons.
We had violence in Animal Crossing.
Tom Nook needs a
good sword to the face.
See, I never played Animal Crossing, and somebody told me that Tom Nook is like actually not a very nice person.
Ooh, he's a loon shark.
Yeah, like he's actually just using all the people on the island.
In New Horizons, he's not that bad, but apparently in past games, he's been.
Yeah.
Very predatory.
I mean, he's still, whenever you pay off a house, he's like, oh, that's great, thank you for all your money, but wouldn't you like a bigger house? And like, just straight up there.
Yeah, I'm still paying
off my
million...
Screw you, Tom Nook, I'm living in debt.
My million bell house debt for the second floor.
That's ridiculous. That's like real life.
Here's a tip, you never have to pay off the last loan.
That's very true. But what does the last loan get me? Does it get me a basement?
Nothing.
You're talking to the wrong person.
The very last one. So you get upstairs and then downstairs.
There's a downstairs?
But then... But then once you... So once you get the downstairs, there's like that loan you don't have to pay off because there's nothing else.
Just like my student loans. Not to pay those.
Exactly. It's too real. That's why I'm probably never going to play a game. Final notes for everybody. Is there... So obviously Breath... I'm going to go to Robert first on this one. Obviously, we have Breath of the Wild 2 coming out. Probably not the final name. Would you like a different game from Zelda? Or what would you like to see in this one? Oh, there's a lot of thought going on here. That was a big pause.
What do we want to see in this one?
I'd like Majora's Mask remastered.
Yeah, I'd love to see.
There is Majora's Mask. You can do that for 3DS.
I want it to be darker.
To be fair, it looks like it's going to be.
I want it to be.
What
able
are you
to,
expecting?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be dark. So I have very little expectations. Because that way I don't get disappointed. It's going to be good.
Yes, correct.
Like, I had no expectations going into Breath of the Wild because I really didn't know what to think and was blown away. And
I think Skyward Sword, a lot of people hated Skyward Sword, so they were like, oh, God knows.
The only thing the biggest complaint with Skyward Sword was the linear gameplay to it.
And the motion controls, people didn't like.
I didn't have a problem with them.
Yeah, neither did I. But it was too linear. Like, they didn't really have an open world feel to it, except for the sky, and I think people really didn't like that. Like, once you got down on the ground, it wasn't like you had to go back up to the sky to get back down to the ground, and it was just like, you know. So I think as long as they stay away from that and keep a very the open world concept is the best part of Breath of the Wild, and I think if they keep that, they will be okay.
I agree with Shireen though. Majora's Mask Part 2, like, Majora's Mask
nice.
Is one of my favorite Zelda games because of how nuts it is.
I'd love a sequel to
Majora's
Mask.
I was to recommend you a game from Zelda, I would play Majora's Mask.
Don't ask him anything.
Which one's the one with the moon?
That one.
Majora's Mask.
That's the one.
Yeah, that is one, to be fair, that I do want to play. Like,
because
that does look good.
Really.
But
I would recommend it.
Yeah.
But you don't like JRPGs, so I think you should just
stay
away.
But also, that one has the whole creepypasta around it about, like, bend round, so I want to play it for that, just because I'm a freak.
Lord. Oh, Lord.
Okay.
But yeah, no, well, that's the one that does look good to me.
Would you like, Keith, for one of your Dragon Dags or Uncharted to have a Majora's Mask-style game?
What do you mean
really
by
creepy?
That? Like...
Basically something really creepy that subverts all the expectations of the original game.
Not really, not for Uncharted, definitely. Because that's sort of, while that game does get a bit, you know, dark and it has some supernatural elements, so like creepy to an extent, it's not the type of game for it, you know? Sticking with Naughty Dog, Last of Us is already dark and creepy, so let's not go any further down to that. Let's have a happy clappy Last of Us. They all make friends and they all work together to finish the plague, and that's
build
the end.
City.
Build
the
city.
No, but like, but I suppose like my favorite game of this generation, probably actually my favorite game of all at the minute, is the God of War game that came out for the PS4 just there.
God,
it's so
of
good.
War. God of War.
I'm getting nightmares from that because I'm always like, I always play that beat. Like every time.
God of War.
It just brings me back. Oh yes.
Ooh, okay, let's move off the God of War. Shireen, Because we know Pokemon isn't ever going to change its formula.
Pokemon, let's go, Eevee. Like, hello. Totally different.
Yeah, you know what?
Yes, but it was still kind of stereotypical Pokemon game.
I suppose so, yeah.
It had the same vibe.
I mean, it could be more.
I love Pokemon. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, but they have a formula. Yeah. And it works. So don't change what ain't broke.
Yeah.
But if you were to change something about. I know you said, like, the Persona games, they all have a slightly different vibe. What kind of vibe would you expect next, or would you like to see them try?
Yeah, good question. I think it something that people have wanted is to have like something where some of the characters from all the games were in one game,
right?
Or like some kind of interaction, and there are some like. Spin-off DS games and stuff, but I don't know.
Can I ask a question again as somebody who knows very little about it? Is it a little bit like Final Fantasy where it's all part of the same realm but different like time periods, different like little sub areas? I do love big pauses. It means I'm doing my job
so
right.
Well in a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, like there is, I suppose there's a, there is an area that appears in all three of the games. So there's kind of maybe like some kind of mystic force or like maybe like similar god throughout the three that are possibly like orchestrating the events. Perhaps,
but they're really not tied together.
We'll critique, but yeah, they're not in the same areas. Yeah, they're not really in the same realms. I'm trying to like think if there is any references at all. Yeah, there is this room that's always the same. So there's this kind of section that does happen. That's kind of like this dream. World like apart from reality that
okay.
like all the main characters do enter but not at the same time, but yeah, so there is some kind of connection, so I don't know, maybe that's kind of similar
to
Final Fantasy.
Do you think they might play into that more, or will they just keep to what they're used to?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose Persona 5 was so popular. It did so well. It was like a really big success. So I think they probably will stick to that kind of same theme. And it was done really well. Like, because the characters were really, really fleshed out and it was very good. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what's in store for like another game. Like they do have, they did release recently... it's called Persona 5 Royale, Royal.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah, you are.
I'm gonna get attacked for that. which was the same game essentially with some like added features and added like scenes and characters. So whether there's just kind of more addition to what they have already, or whether there's something completely different.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me this week.
Oh, you're so welcome.
It's been
a pleasure, as always.
Yes.
I probably will not host for many of these because when I host, it's a shambles. But I hope everybody listening enjoyed
it. It was a fun shambles.
And you know the way we were talking about some last week, sometimes having a drunk episode? This could have been it. We just weren't drunk.
It wasn't that bad. If we're doing a drunk episode, we should all be in the same room for that. That's all I'm gonna say. All right.
Yeah. I don't want to have to try and organize streams and videos and all sorts over multiple places. That would be a disaster. Anyway, thank you very much. Final comments from everybody?
Nope.
Play Yu-Gi-Oh! Don't play Zelda. The end. Thank you.
Keith. That's not even the right way around. It's supposed to be Yu-Gi-Oh! Over Pokemon. Keith, get out. Anyway.
Keith, get Thank stuff.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Please follow us on all our social medias. We're on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of it. And we will see you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.